IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello, and welcome back to IRS on the Road. Oh, wow, we've had a wonderful week in the air, on the road, on the crazy roads, more than we wanted to be, but we are in Mexico City, but we're about an hour south of Mexico City.
Maybe an hour and a half south. Why are we here? That's the question.
Well, we have found one of the most gorgeous places on earth here. How do you explain it?
Well, let's go back a little and give some background. We decided a few years ago, I want to make this sound not idealistic, but sort of realistic. We remembered back when we were the age that our children are now, with lots of kids in our home and lots of responsibility and lots of things that kept us from getting away by ourselves. One of the hardest things that we really longed to do, and I remember this distinctly when we were full of kids and professions and just every minute was taken up with church callings and so on, there was this longing to just get away, the two of us, for even a couple of days, just to sort of reorient and kind of recenter ourselves and set some goals for the longer term and so on. So it was just really almost impossible to do, not only because we were too busy, but because, you know, we didn't have the means to sort of go and do things.
Well, I remember clearly writing in my goals when I was a young mother to get away at least one day a year.
One day a year.
I clearly.
And that was a stretch.
I mean, that was get away completely away from all the kids and all that stuff. And oh my goodness, those are hard times. It's kind of a grueling time when you, if you don't have a lot of help. Wow, we've been around the world since then, and so many people have wonderful help, nannies, drivers, everything. But, you know, when you're just home with a bunch of kids, you're there, and it's great. It's good. But, wow, you just need that time away so much.
You're not only sort of tethered to your house and your work, but you don't usually have the money or the means, or if you do, you don't feel justified spending it just taking off on your own for a while. And anyway, that's leading up to the fact that a few years ago, we thought, hey, what can we give our children that they'll really appreciate and that they couldn't or wouldn't give themselves? And so here's the official name for it. We call it the Relationship and Spiritual Creation Facilitation Trips. Should I say that again, Linda? Relationship and Spiritual Creation Facilitation Trip. Now, breaking that into simple language, here's a chance to get away from your daily life and do a little planning and thinking and goal setting. So we try to do that a couple of times a year, knowing that not all of our kids will be able to come on any given trip. So they have a couple of options. And we belong to this thing where we exchange second homes. So we sometimes put our Park City home into this pool and other people can stay there for a week. And in return, we can stay in another house, another second home of other people in this group. And they're all over the world, and it's just basically a trade. So you're not spending a lot of money. And we look for those that are far away and interesting. And so this gets to your question, Linda. We found this 420-year-old hacienda. And it used to be a sugarcane plantation, and it's in a very rural part of Mexico, about an hour and a half south of Mexico City, going toward Acapulco on the coast, but going toward Oaxaca. And boy, did we ever hit on a gem. I mean, this is an unbelievable hacienda. It's like the land that time forgot.
It's like walking into a dream. We have had such an amazing experience just from being in this place, a different place, but with air and beautiful flowers. We've just left Utah last week.
In a snowstorm.
In a snowstorm. So it really has been so rejuvenating. And all of our kids can't always come, but we just have a nice little group.
Four of nine came just with their spouses. That's the idea of relationship and spiritual creation facilitation.
Right. But
so we're not also, together.
We also have three grandchildren.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we had, this place has 10 bedrooms. And when only four of our children could come, we reached out to the next generation. And we have one couple of one of our granddaughters and her husband.
And then one missionary getting
one
ready
missionary
to go.
Getting ready to go. So we haven't filled the place up, but it is, I don't know, honey, what do you, this will sound a little funny, but could I just say that, I don't know, here's how I want to say it. When I, the novels that I enjoy reading most are novels that take me to a place I've never been. They take me to a place or put me in a circumstance or a situation or a world, if you will, or a time that I've never experienced before. Because that's, I think that's one of the great reasons for reading good novels, is to remove yourself from where you are to somewhere where you have never been and probably will never go. But this trip is in a way like doing that in reality, because we've been here now just about a week. We're almost ready to go home. And I think what I've enjoyed most about it is I feel like I'm in a different time. There's no televisions in this house, in this huge hacienda.
It's a magnificent place with not one TV. It's fabulous.
And so we feel that we're in a different time. Everything is done by hand. Everything is done by labor, by human labor. There's a wonderful staff here that are really wonderful Mexican people who are kind and really service oriented. And so I feel like I'm in a different time and in a different world, a world that we've never been in before. And that's true of any really exotic travel, right? If you're in the Amazon or if you're in the tropics or if you're somewhere in Africa, you always can have that feeling a little bit. But the nice thing about here is it's basically the same time zone. It's a 3.5 hour flight. There's no jet lag, and you are just suddenly in a different time,
a different world. It's absolutely amazing. Our host is terrific. Yes, this is owned by a big family, and it's been so interesting to hear about what's happened to their family through the ages. This grandfather of his just had this vision, and he's such a great heart and such a good man, and he's got this thing going. It's absolutely
the grandson, yeah,
remarkable.
The grandfather bought it. The grandfather, the great grandfather, actually started a newspaper that became the largest newspaper in Mexico City back in the time when newspapers were really. They were profitable. They were everything. Power and money came with big
source
newspapers.
Of information. Yeah.
So he bought this hacienda, which was at that time nearly 400. Well, it's 420 years old now, so maybe it was 350 years old then, but built in 1604 as a plantation for sugarcane. And so, in addition to this rambling big hacienda, and you can picture it in your mind, big tile terraces with fountains and tiled roofs and seven different cupolas. We're big cupola fans, the little, you know, the towers that stand up on the roofs that have windows, and they're all octagonal, which is cool for me because I love octagons. But and there's a bell tower, and I mean, it's just a really amazing place. But there's also all these caverns, they call them vaults, that are big arches made of stone. And within those vaults is where the sugar cane was processed, or where the sugar was extracted from the cane. And so there's waterways coming into there, even old aqueducts. And this grandfather was smart enough to create a pool, a swimming pool, which has the aqueduct arches going right down into the pool. So these old, ancient, no longer used arched aqueducts stand above the pool. And it's just, I'm doing a terrible job of describing it, but you get the idea.
No, it really is quite amazing. It's just like walking into a different world. Our host is just absolutely terrific. He's one of the grandsons. I think the star grandson.
Well, he's the one that's
he's
taken
really
over management.
Been marvelous to work with. And just a young man. He's just wonderful. So our kids have really, I mean, it's like stepping into a different world for just a few days. We did a meditation this morning, some yoga. I have to admit that I didn't do the yoga part because I have a bad knee and a bad hip right at this moment. But it was so fun. We did do a meditation together, which was just so delightful. Just close your eyes and get yourself out of the world.
A couple of our daughters are really into yoga, and they love leading the rest of the family in these. I mean, that's an example, honey, of doing things that you would never do. I mean, they do yoga at home, of course, but as a group, as a family, and our discussions at breakfast and at dinner every day are very different than the discussion you'd have if you were home and you just got together for a Sunday meal, where the talk would be dominated by what the kids are doing or what's happening or what the sports scores were or whatever. We don't even know what's happened during the last week. I don't even know the scores of the sports teams I follow. Now, that's different.
That's really...
That's remarkable.
Actually, that's fabulous.
The real
world. I love
it. So it's the oldest philosophy in the world, right? Is that to get away from your normal life is the best way to have perspective and to regain sort of a sense of distance and to look at your own daily paradigm from a different paradigm and thus see it a little more clearly.
I can't tell you how wonderful it is to just be with kids one-on-one and just have some time to talk to them. It really has. We've had so many interesting discussions along with learning so much about this amazing culture. It is quite a remarkable culture. People generally are more laid back. And we're in a little oasis here amongst not poverty. People are happy here. That's another thing. I mean, you go to some countries and people just don't look very happy, but people seem happy and content with what they're doing. And it's such a wonderful thing to observe.
Well, and I think so many listeners have spent time in Mexico, but as with us for so many years, you think of Mexico as border towns like Tijuana, or you think of it as coastal resorts like Mazatlan or Acapulco, or even over on the Yucatan in Cozumel and so on. It's the interior, the rural interior of Mexico that is so different and so interesting and really of another time and another place. So let's take a little break. And when we come back, I think we're just in a mood where we'd like to share, especially with you grandparents or you parents out there, who may want to think a little more about a family retreat, not a family reunion, not a gathering where everyone needs to be there or where it's there, you know, there's all the kids and all the generations, but a retreat where it's just the first and second generation. We can talk a little more about how the kids had to find some babysitters for this, but the interesting dynamic that comes when you're, number one, very removed from your normal life, and number two, just with your family, just the grandparents and the parents together talking about things you normally don't talk about. And we'll share a couple of those with you after we take a little break.
So hang on, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Ayers on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back. And I think one of the best things of being here is that we get to see the fun side of our kids. We did just leave a discussion at breakfast this morning that was a pretty deep discussion about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It was really interesting. But last night, they just had so much fun. There is a pool here, and they just started doing tricks. I mean, the adults turned into kids.
No, that's really true. They get them away from their kids, they become the kids again.
Oh my gosh. And then we went to bed, but they played sardines, which we had never heard of before. But it's a hide and seek thing where you find a place to hide, and there's one that's it, and they go hide someplace that's kind of indiscreet, and then everybody else tries to find him, and then one person finds him at a time, two and three, and it was hilarious to hear their report of that.
It's like going back into their childhood.
And like, yeah,
the pool the other day, they were trying to do a train dive where one person dives, the next person is running parallel with him, dives out, grabs the feet of the first one, the third one grabs the feet of the second one, and they all sort of peel into the pool like a continuous train dive. And they worked on that. I mean, that's something they would not have time to do in their normal life, but they worked on that. And so here's these 40-year-olds who are going back into, you know, what we remember them as when they were kids.
Right. Right. And yesterday we got to go into a town, one of the so-called magic towns, quote unquote magic towns, and it really was
high in the mountains,
so fun to watch, fun streets, to go through the markets, and then
no
we
tourists,
ate some street food, which we all survived so far, but we met just the most interesting people. As a cute little old man, seemed really old, but he was my age. Maybe yeah. You don't see yourself as you really are. But tiny, diminutive man. He couldn't have weighed more than 80 pounds. And he spoke English. He was American, so we could talk to him. But it was so delightful. He had come there 40 years ago and had lived there. He was college educated. He was really so fun to talk to.
Well, and we've learned a new method of using Pepto-Bismol. Learned it from our host, actually. He said, don't wait till you're sick. Just take a little each morning and let it coat your stomach and you'll be okay all day. So we get up and we have our little half teaspoon of Pepto-Bismol and we go out and eat the street food, and so far, so good.
I know. We had one granddaughter that didn't do well last night, but she said, well, I think it was because I ate 14 tacos yesterday.
Yeah, that might have overdone.
That might have been the problem.
But let's share. I mean, because again, what we're trying to say is, if you can find a way, and by the way, this doesn't have to be to some exotic place far away. This could be a camping trip. This could be getting up in the mountains. This could be going, it could be just spending a day in a place where you're away from, everyone's away from the little kids, and you're able to really talk. We didn't have an agenda. We didn't say, okay, during this trip, we're going to talk about the following things. They tend to come up. You've put people in the right atmosphere and the right mindset and the right amount of relaxation. It brings about a certain kind of discussion that doesn't usually happen. So two or three nights ago, our youngest son said, you know, while we're at dinner, I would just like to hear everyone tell what their passion is. What is the, he actually put it this way. What is the why? Have you found the why? The why? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you in the profession you're in? Why? What is your, have you found your passion? Have you found your why? And to hear everyone reflect a little on that was just so interesting. And it wasn't mom and dad, the old patriarch and matriarch, bringing it up. We're bystanders. We're trying to listen in, and there's an equality. I think families get to the level where you all feel like your peers rather than, you know, I don't think either of us feel any great urge to teach or to lead or to guide.
Oh, heavens.
We're just here to listen and
feel like
participate.
They know so much more than we do by now. You probably don't.
No, I don't know. What do you mean?
But I just feel so blessed to be part of this family. I mean, they really are. It's so fun. And the in-laws, we have been so lucky with in-laws. I mean, not in perfection, but
we haven't always thought that, but we pretty much do now.
No. Oh, they're wonderful. They're just so terrific. And, you know, you have to work around other family cultures and other people. And it's great to do that because you learn so much about somebody that's outside of your realm and, you know, pulling them into your realm and yet letting them remain who they are. And teach us about their culture. I have loved that because we have so many interesting in-laws.
So another example is the one you mentioned a minute ago, honey. We were at breakfast just before we came to do the podcast, and the subject matter was the deepest of all subject matters, I guess you could argue for, and that is the second coming of Christ. And what do you all think about that? And how close do you think it might be if indeed you believe it will happen? And we even had a little boat you'd be interested in. We said, here's four options. How many of you think the second coming will be during your lifetime? That's option A. Two, how many think it'll be during your children's lifetime before the youngest of your children passes on? Third answer, before the end of your grandchildren's life. Of course, that'll be our great-grandchildren. And the fourth option is that it won't happen until beyond that. And long story short, the two leading answers were a group who thought it would be during their lifetime. And the other biggest vote-getter was it will be later than our grandchildren's lifetime. So that led to a really interesting discussion, not only about the second coming, but about what has to happen to the world before that time comes. And this is not a Sunday school discussion. This is not where someone's reading quotes or scriptures. This is just people thinking and sharing their own views of things. And again, that was not planned. I think you create the environment and you create a new configuration, right? Like that's the interesting thing for us, because when we do these, it just depends on who can get away that particular week and who can find a babysitter. And we've done about four of these now and over the last two or three years. And it's a different configuration each time. And it's very different than when you have a reunion and everyone's there. It's just, it's sort of haphazard.
Everyone does not have 100 people at the reunion.
No, that's so true. You know, but in this case, families. We have our oldest daughter, and then we have our fifth child, Jonah, our son, and then we have our seventh, Noah, and we have our eighth, Eli. So that just happened.
Yeah, it just happened to be when they could come. But another a good side effect of this is that we've had time to talk to our children, adult children, about their kids.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's all rosy everywhere, because
when
two
they're
or three of them
are
really struggling with kids, that different teenagers and so on, who are affected by this generation of anxiety. And it's been so good to really open our minds to what a different world our teenagers now are growing up in than what we grew in, or even that our kids grew up in. It is really remarkable. One child who you would never think in a million years would have a problem with insecurity or anxiety
has slipped into a phase
and
connected to puberty that is really troubling. So there's just endless, I mean, families have endless subjects that can and should come up. And I often think the responsibility or the privilege of grandparents is to figure out a way to put them in a forum where they can talk about those things, or where they can have a new paradigm and a new perspective of those things. I'll give you another example. And again, we're not setting ourselves up as the ideal here. We're just trying to find our own way. But one of the things, this is a good example because it's so extreme. We had, when we were speaking a lot, we would occasionally be invited to speak on a cruise ship, and we would say, you don't need to pay the speaking fee, just let us bring some of our family. And so one time we just took our four daughter-in-laws, not our sons who they married, but just the daughters-in-law. And wow, just putting those four together with us. And did we ever learn a lot about our own sons that we didn't know? I think they were nervous.
You think our sons are not perfect? What could that be? But it really was good. It's so good to see them through their spouse's eyes. We have not had luck with doing all the sons-in-law. They are, it's just a different animal.
So I kind of think what we're saying here, honey, correct me if I'm wrong, but everyone knows that the key, the desire of all of us is to have really good, clear, open communication within our families. And in today's world, too often that means we text each other a lot, or we're all on Instagram together, or we look at each other on Facebook or Marco Polo or something. And that's wonderful. And it can be a lifesaver for families that live far apart and so on. We get on a Zoom call and whatever. But that does not replicate or replace face-to-face communication. And there's so precious little time for that today. And I mean, you know, there's little things we can do. We can take one couple to dinner and just talk to them, and we can do other things. But to look for ways, to look for time in a different form, to look for time in its unusual, not normal flow, to disrupt, I guess is another way of saying, can you disrupt the routine of life? As a grandparent, think about this for a minute. Do you have the power to disrupt the normal flow of things and get your children, your adult children, and you can do this with grandkids too, of course, can you somehow get a change where different communication and different feelings and different openness exists? And maybe, you know, we're not giving examples we think are always going to work for everyone, like go to a wild 400-year Mexican hacienda,
right?
But a camping trip or a dinner or a special drive or just a time late in the evening when you all get together and sit around a fireplace and really talk.
Well, and we have to realize that we're talking about the real world here. There are many of you who have had divorces in the family, estrangements with your own children.
And we've
and so
all
on.
Had problems.
We've all had issues, and it's
Don't
not that
up.
Everything is just perfect, but we really hope that we've given you something to think about to make it work for your family. How would that work for you? And you might have to do it in an entirely different way. But it's just so important to stay in touch with these kids and these minds and these grandchildren in different ways than just passing in the night.
So I'm sorry for the long, you know, for the relationship and spiritual creation facilitation name. But I do ask all of us, including ourselves, that question. What are we doing as grandparents or as parents to facilitate relationships within our family, to give relationships their maximum chance to flourish and grow? That's the question for all of us.
That is, and we'll leave you with that. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Ayers on the Road. Bye-bye.